How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Hey, hey. Really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bell, I'm the best, best, best tell. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best bell, I'm the best, best, best chill. Into the next world, guess I got next still.
And welcome to the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream. I'm Bradley Stalder, and tonight we're going to get into some NFL draft week watches. I'm really excited for draft week. It's come. It's finally here. We've been waiting for months and months, and with me tonight, from the GOAT District, Dan Williamson. Dan, I wasn't able to fly you out from Minnesota, but we are here on the live stream, able to talk some NFL draft. But first, we had a big trade today. And as the Packers fan, I feel some sort of way about it, but I know your Vikings background through and through. So tell me about your reactions, interdivisional opinions on this Aaron Rodgers trade from the Green Bay Packers to the New York Jets.
Yeah. So first off, I just got to say, I love those Gabe intros, man. Just outstanding, each and every one of them. So
you got a good one. Gabe is a 10 out of 10.
Yes. No doubt. He's like 15 out of 10. hats off for you for getting one of those Gabe intros. They're fantastic. So Aaron Rodgers, hey, I'm very happy to see him exit the division. not gonna lie, this was kind of the trade we knew the trade was coming. It was just kind of what form is it going to take. And I'll be honest, I think the Jets really kind of played themselves on this thing. Because the market for Aaron Rodgers was basically one team, people are still arguing on Twitter about who had the leverage here. And, you can look at this deal and you can point to it and say, well, clearly Green Bay had the leverage because they got a really nice deal. I'm still not so sure that's true. I think, if they had the leverage, it's because the Jets almost handed it to them.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
He had a market of one team. So, if he doesn't go anywhere, then the Packers are left with a quarterback who does not like them, does not want to play for them, that they owe a ton of money to. That's not a good situation to be in. Whereas the Jets, obviously, they're back at ground zero for quarterback. They don't have their guy. Then they're starting to do things like, can we trade for Ryan Tannehill or something like that? So, definitely a tough deal on both sides, but I love what the Packers got out of it. As a Vikings fan, I don't love it near so much, but as just, you know, like a regular old NFL fan, I feel like the Packers really did well because, I mean, they got that switch of the first picks in this draft, which, you know, 13, 15, not a big deal, but they get the second round pick and they get a second next year at the very least that's probably going to turn into a first. So, you know, that's huge. You know, the Jets really need to make that work now. The pressure is on them.
Yeah, I think the Jets were, they had a lot of other options on the table. I think, you know, you have to think that Lamar Jackson could have been gotten for pretty close to that amount. I mean, if it's just two first round picks, that's close to what the Jets gave up to acquire Aaron Rodgers. And while Rodgers and Lamar have different skill sets, you have to think that, like, a younger quarterback who is former MVP, led the league in touchdown passes, like, this is also on the table. And then there was also speculation that Matthew Stafford was on the trading block and may have been, you know, in consideration if the Aaron Rodgers trade didn't go through. So I think that the Packers made out pretty well in this deal, all things considered. Aaron Rodgers could have just walked away or retired, and then they got nothing. So for them to get, you know, a move up and possibly get a play, I agree with you, moving up a couple picks, getting an extra second, getting a possible first next year. There was draft equity to be had, and I think that the Packers did the best that they could given the situation that they were in. What are your takes on Jordan Love? We don't have a lot of data on him. He filled in a couple years ago for Rodgers during the COVID stints. But other than that, he only played, what, like 21 dropbacks last year. He was, like, I think the ninth best PFF graded quarterback, but there's such a small sample size. You can't take much away from that. Is he going to be able to develop, or is this just a wait and see situation with the Packers?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of wait and see situation. I mean, you know, they know obviously a lot more than we know, you know, watching the kid practice every day. But, you know, there's a couple things I know. Number one, he's probably going to be pretty good for fantasy. Number two, you can probably rely on him because they really don't have anything to back him up with. You know, this is going to be the Jordan Love show, I think, for pretty much all 16 games. He would have to absolutely face plant and make them go out and, you know, get a, you know, I don't know, a Case Keenum or somebody like that. So it would have to be just awful. And the other thing I know is he's going to look very, very good at least two games a year at Minnesota and when Minnesota comes to Green Bay, because that's the way it always seems to go with Packers quarterbacks. So
I don't know. This is Jordan Love we're talking about, not Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. However,
hey, we made David Blau look all right, okay?
Fair enough. Fair enough. The Kneel Down King himself. I think that was David Blau, right? Or am I thinking of a different
back? I think it's a different guy, but yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, Blau was when he was with Detroit. It was, you know, it doesn't matter what quarterback anybody throws up against the Vikings, they find a way to make him look spectacular almost all the time. So, you know, that's just kind of the baseline.
That ties into our next player that we're watching very closely. There's been a lot of speculation this offseason about Dalvin Cook and his very large contract. If the Vikings cut him, they don't owe him very much. The Vikings also re-signed Alexander Mattison to a modest but not full backup, you know, contract. This was a respectable in-betweener, I would say. And do you have a pulse of what the Vikings are going to do with Dalvin Cook? Are they in the running back market? Are they just hoping that his contract is going to be renegotiated, or are they just straight up looking for the right time to move on?
Yeah. If you don't mind though, Bradley, let's go back. I want to ask you one more question about Aaron Rodgers, if I can.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Do you think he's dusted?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I think Aaron Rodgers played almost all of last year with a broken thumb, and that's why we saw a lot of interceptions and a lot of missed throws. He had the right ideas. He knew where the ball was supposed to be. And it's also highlighted by at the beginning of the season when he was healthy, a lot of rookie drops. And he, if you remember at the beginning of the year, I mean, even game one, first drive of the season, Christian Watson drops an 80-yard touchdown. And that is
against
the Vikings. But it's emblematic of what happened last year is during the healthy games, the rookie receivers like Romeo Dubs and Christian Watson were not able to produce. And then when Aaron Rodgers broke his thumb, a third of the way through the season, it was not the same. Like, he threw multiple interceptions against Detroit. Extremely uncharacteristic of him. The reality is that Aaron Rodgers is still that good, that bad man. And I mean, even if we take a step back and say, oh, it was a step back year for Aaron Rodgers, like, he was still top 10, top 12 in almost every efficiency metric, PFF grades, you know, NFL passer ratings, completion percentage, like all of those things. He was still not a bad quarterback last year. It's just that he was dealing with that broken thumb that he eventually admitted to. Like, it took, 6 weeks after it actually happened for that to come out. As a Packers fan, I'm watching this. I'm like, he makes these throws. He just can't grip the ball. So I don't think he's dusted at all. I think that there are some talking heads on Twitter who are saying, oh, he's dust. He's terrible. Why are the Jets? This is such a bad trade. No, like, the Jets know what they're getting in Aaron Rodgers, and this is a chips-in move for a Super Bowl. You've got a great defense. You've got a decent enough offensive line. You've got an absolute stud wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. You've also got other nice complementary pieces in Alan Lazard. Corey Davis is still on this team. Tyler Conklin is respectable. Did I mention Breece Hall yet? Because Breece Hall is an absolute monster. Okay. And he's good. And even like the respectable Michael Carter in the backfield, he can still catch passes. And you could see him being, a nice change of pace back, a good pass catching complement there. The Jets are primed for a playoff run. They're primed for a Super Bowl run with Aaron Rodgers as this final piece. And this, I think, is the Rams, 2.0, in that there were pieces in place for the Rams to be making moves, and they just needed Matthew Stafford. And so this is, the Jets' Matthew Stafford move.
All right. For the record, I agree with you. And only one more small question. How many years until Aaron Rodgers is a Minnesota Viking?
Oh, God. I refuse to answer that. Gosh. That's like taking a knife and just skewering me, Dad. It's okay.
Oh, come on. It's never happened before.
I'm crying inside, okay? Okay.
So we're back to let's get back to Dalvin Cook.
All right, back to your guy, Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook, yes. All right, so here's what we know about Dalvin. $14 million is what he's costing against the cap this year, which is just it's egregious. The Vikings really don't want to pay that. I mean, right now they've got him in there underneath the cap, but they have rookies coming in. I'm sure they want to sign another free agent or two. So they, even just to sign the rookie class, they're going to have to make some moves. And I think one of the moves is definitely Dalvin. One way or another, I think they're trying to get, they're not necessarily trying to get rid of Dalvin Cook. What they're trying to get rid of is that $14 million obligation, right?
Right.
So, they basically got three possible outs on this. They can trade him. They're probably going to get almost nothing for him because he does come with this $14 million. And the trade market is also going to be very limited because how many teams can, squeeze $14 million for a running back into their cap?
Right.
There's not too many that would actually be interested in Dalvin. Secondly, they could outright cut him. Won't happen until after the draft, I'm sure of that. They're going to wait and see what happens in the draft. There's still free agents out there that would come considerably cheaper. So that's a possibility. But I think if they can't trade him, what they're going to try to do is force him to take that, just restructure and cut his salary down to the point where it's palatable, at least for this year, and get it to where he is either on palatable salaries in future years or else cuttable in future years. So I think that's pretty much what they're going to shoot for. Because as you noted, Alexander Mattison, he's got a contract that's, you know, it's pretty decent money for a starter. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, wouldn't have been that great of money. But now that's actually good money for a starting running back. So I think they want Mattison to be kind of the lead back. I think they probably want to pick up somebody else on the cheap late in the draft, or they want to get Dalvin Cook negotiated down. So that's kind of what I see. I would say, is Cook going to be with the Vikings? I'd say probably 60% no, 40% yes.
Yeah, and looking at some of the efficiency metrics that Cook put up last year, 37th in true yards per carry, right, 155th in expected points added, 30th in breakaway run rate. Like, he was not a top 10 running back last year. It was the first time since 2018 that we didn't see him in the top 10 in fantasy points per game. We saw him in a career low yards per carry. And the elephant in the room for Minnesota is that they shifted significantly from primarily 50-50 run pass team relative to like 50th percentile in the NFL to they were bottom five in rush rate, right? And one of the pass heaviest teams in the NFL. So Cook wasn't getting the massive rush volume that he was before. He's also on the wrong side of the age cliff. His efficiency metrics are down. And so it's just a formula for an overpaid running back to get cut, unfortunately, or that restructure that you mentioned. So I don't think I agree with you. I don't think we have a strong pulse of it. We just know something's going to happen or have to happen here with Dalvin Cook. The Minnesota Vikings just can't afford it.
Yeah. And one more thought on that, too, is, you know, the spin doctors have been out big time on both sides, because you've got Dalvin's agent saying, you know, he got his shoulder operated on after the season. And, you know, the agent's going, yeah, you're going to finally see Dalvin fully healthy. You know, he's been the shoulder's been bothering him for years, which, you know, it has. But, you know, he's been planning how he's going to take a hit or planning how he's going to land rather than planning how he can make his next cut. You know, so they're out there saying you're going to see the best season out of Dalvin yet. And then you've got the Vikings saying, well, you know, part of the reason why we didn't run as much last year is because we just weren't very good at it. And they haven't really said, well, it's Dalvin's fault. You know, they've said, hey, we could have done better blocking, all that kind of stuff. So with all that spinning going on from both sides, it will definitely be interesting to see where all this ends up.
And, I mean, Alexander Mattison, if we remember, was a back end of the third round pick. He only averaged 5 fantasy points per game last year and was 3.8 yards per carry. We thought that Dalvin Cook was inefficient. I mean, 3.8 yards per true yards per carry is pretty bad.
Yeah, and Mattison is not great, for sure.
Yeah, and so maybe they do look for, you know, fresh blood in the draft, as you mentioned. This is a real possibility. There are a lot of very interesting running backs that could go day 2 or early day 3 that might be a nice fit for the Minnesota Vikings, especially if they're looking to pass a lot. Like, I don't think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to go to Minnesota, but imagine, you know, Kirk Cousins is a pocket passer dumping it off a lot to, you know, a 12% target share to Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. So, and I think with the Vikings, they're unlikely to take anybody before day 3 because they just have too many needs in other places, you know. So I think we're looking at, you know, either somebody drops, you know, late in the third round and they trade up to go get him, or they're going to be looking, you know, with a fourth or fifth round pick to try to pick up somebody who can platoon with Mattison.
All right. We will shift into another running back situation, but also one that we're monitoring very closely for similar yet different reasons. Joe Mixon is on the wrong side of the age cliff. We saw inefficient games from him as well, but we also saw a 5-touchdown game from him this past year. It was glorious. It won people weeks. It won people lots of money. However, Joe Mixon was not, like, once again, not very good, not very efficient behind the Cincinnati offensive line. We saw Samaje Perine play a significant amount in this Bengals offense. And then there are other factors that go into play for Joe Mixon, like the off the field issues that are now in play that the NFL is monitoring. They reopened charges or possibility for charges investigation of him. I don't think we have the full details up yet, but that now that that's reared its head and Joe Mixon could be, cut any day, that is a possibility. But then we get a quote just yesterday from offensive coordinator Callahan saying that, oh yeah, the Bengals are looking for someone to complement Joe Mixon in this offense. Dan, how much of this do you believe, and what is the truth with Joe Mixon right now?
All right, so the truth with Joe Mixon is the best descriptor of his 2022 campaign was even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So he was not good. I don't know if he was just having an off year or whatever, but it looked to me like he just didn't have it anymore. So I'm very nervous about that, but even a running back who doesn't really have it anymore, put him in an offense as good as the Bengals, and every now and then he's going to, luck his way into a 5-touchdown game. These things do happen. So I don't think, since Mixon has not been yet cut, I don't think they're going to. There's one thing we know is that Cincinnati is a very cheap, tight franchise. They do not like paying dead money to anybody. And they keep talking about Mixon like he's going to be there. I think the main concern with Mixon is that they draft somebody pretty high in the draft, like if Jahmyr Gibbs goes to Cincinnati, that would be a real, thorn in his side. And, so I think Cincinnati really wants to use this as a transition year to work on transitioning out of the Joe Mixon business and transitioning into whoever, or whatever is next.
Right now, Joe Mixon is going as the running back 30 on Underdog Fantasy. I think that's too low given what we, what trend we're seeing now. I think that this, I don't know if we're going full Josh Jacobs here, but I think that it's at least in a similar vein of this veteran running back that we've kind of said is too dusty and has now fallen outside the top 24. And I mean, this could be a value even right now, Dan. Like, are you viewing Joe Mixon at running back 30 as a possible value?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And on FFPC, he's been running about running back 24, 25, something like that. So he's been even a little bit higher, and I still consider that to be a value. I've been taking some shares even over an FFPC here and there at that price. And, I think the main thing is, if he doesn't get any significant competition in the draft somehow, he's probably going to bump up some. But if, a Jahmyr Gibbs or somebody comes along, we could be looking at running back 36 Joe Mixon, which is going to be even more of a value because, Gibbs is not one of those guys who's going to be, handling 250 touches a game. They're going to need Mixon to absorb a lot of touches. And Mixon, for all the fact that they don't use him as much as they could in the passing game, he still often does get 5, 6, 7 targets every week. And that probably wouldn't even change that much. So, yeah, I like him as a value.
Yeah, and just to throw it out there, Mixon last year was running back 22 in rate of being a top 5 running back, but he was running back 12 in rate of being a flex play for your best ball leagues. So he had a really nice floor because of that volume. And if the Cincinnati Bengals add a pass catching running back, like maybe that just takes a lot of the Samaje Perine. Because right now it's Travion Williams, it's someone else behind Chris Evans, who's more of like a third down pass catching back that kind of regressed in year two. So, there are touches up for grabs in the backfield for the Cincinnati offense that even if they fill it with a day two pick, day two running back, Mixon could very well be a value at running back 24 to 30.
Right. And they, one thing that they've made pretty clear is they don't really think that much of Travion Williams or Chris Evans. I mean, they just, there should have been opportunities for them to get in there more than they have. And Perine basically took everything that could have gone to them. So, you know.
Well, credit to Perine, because he was in 2021, he was one of the worst pass blockers in the NFL. And then he somehow turned into one of the best. And so you have to give him credit where credit's due to earn his spot back, because Chris Evans was a sleeper for me in 2022. I thought that he was going to be that running back too for the Bengals, pass catching, third down. But no, Perine like earned his keep. So hats off to Samaje.
I had a lot of Chris Evans bags in best ball last year. So
lots of zeros there.
Yes.
But we won't be getting zeros from Derrick Henry wherever he is. Rumors flew that Derrick Henry might be going to the Eagles. However, that's been kind of put to rest over the last 24 hours. Not a lot of rumblings regarding the landing spot for Derrick Henry. However, this is not the first time this offseason that we've heard rumors that Derrick Henry could be moved and that there's a changing of the guard in Tennessee. Frankly, Dan, I think this Tennessee offense is an absolute mess. And if they're going to move on from Derrick Henry, they should just get as much as they can for him and draft capital for the future. And if they're going to do that, I mean, we're going to talk about Ryan Tannehill in a little bit, but it's almost the same conversation. Get as much as you can, because what is the direction of this team when the center of the offense is around an aged running back and your leading receiver in receiving yards from last year is what, Robert Woods? You know, like, it's pretty bad. Like, Treylon Burks had 440 receiving yards last year. Austin Hooper, you know, 400 something receiving. It's a bad look and a bad offense. I don't know what to make of this Derrick Henry news. Like, is there going to be some Derrick Henry movement this week?
Yeah, I think the most likely outcome is that it's honestly business as usual in Tennessee. And they keep Derrick Henry, they keep Ryan Tannehill, and they try to add another pass catcher. You know, you can just as easily kind of turn things around a little bit and say, well, hey, you know, Chig Onwuzie, he really started coming on towards the end of the year. You know, it's good to see that. Treylon Burks got hurt, so he was out for most of the games. When he was in there, he was looking pretty good, other than when, of course, Malik Willis was throwing the ball, which was also a problem. I mean, when you finished off your season with Malik Willis and Josh Dobbs playing quarterback for you, you know, you're not going to see stellar receiving numbers. You know, so honestly, there's a big part of me that says, you know, I don't know why the Titans, you know, looking around at the rest of their division, you know, they got the Jags to worry about and not much else. You know, why wouldn't they run it back with Tannehill and Henry and everything else? I think the only thing that maybe throws a fly in that ointment is if they are able to get one of these young quarterbacks in this draft that they feel real good about and that they feel like is ready to start this year, then maybe Tannehill is gone. And then maybe they even think about sending Henry on his way. Though I could see that going either way. But otherwise, I mean, you know, even if they get, like, let's say they get Richardson. They're probably going to want to redshirt him for a year, so they keep Tannehill. They keep running Derrick Henry out there. And, you know, again, that's another way that we just have another year of the same thing. So I love where Derrick Henry is going in drafts. I think he's cheap. you know.
Absolutely.
Do you have him on best ball or in underdog right now?
So let me pull up on bestbellfantasy.com. I do have my best ball rankings up. And for running backs, I have Derrick Henry as my running back 3. And I'm getting him in the end of the second round, beginning of the third round. And I know that that's not a popular opinion because there's been a lot of concerns about Derrick Henry. But I have him ahead of Bijan. I had him ahead of Jonathan Taylor. I have him ahead of Saquon. I have him ahead of Nick Chubb and Kenneth Walker and Breece Hall. The only two running backs he's behind for me right now are Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler. And I'm willing to move Eckler down depending upon what we get in the draft for the Chargers. obviously, you know, things can change. But for right now, like, you can't ignore what Derrick Henry did last year. He led all running backs in rate of top 5 weeks. 31.4% of his weeks were top five. The next closest was Austin Eckler at 22. Okay, there's just such a tier gap between Derrick Henry accessing these elite games. I mean, McCaffrey was at 20% last year, and we have to be a little concerned about him being on San Francisco, sharing with Debo, sharing with Elijah Mitchell. So there are other concerns, but Derrick Henry was able to hold up for 16 of 17 games with five screws in his foot last year. And why can't he do it again this year? The reality is I think I agree with you, Dan. Derrick Henry is, I think, the most underrated running back in the first three rounds.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, you know, running back three, you know,
spicy, but
it's
fine.
It's spicy, but, you know, I
it just means I'm going to get a lot of Derrick Henry.
Yeah, yeah. How am I going to sit here and say, you're wrong, Bradley? I mean, you know, it's definitely, he could be running back one. You know, we've seen it. And he doesn't have a lot of mileage. For a 29-year-old running back, he was very lightly used early in his career. So he doesn't have a ton of mileage on his odometer. And so I think he's going to probably, you know, and he's also just kind of a different kind of back. I mean, he's a guy who delivers hits more than he takes it. And I think that makes a big difference too. So, you know, and the one thing we know, as you pointed out, you know, if he is in the game, he is going to end up in your starting lineup in best ball. It's just almost a sure thing. And, you know, those are the kind of players you want, because even with a back end RB1, you know, they're going to spend what, a third to a half of their, well, probably about a third of their weeks out of your starting lineup, you know, because they'll have an 8-point game or a 9-point game or something like that. You'll find a couple of running backs that end up having better outputs than that on your roster somewhere. So, you know, Henry's that one guy that just really is in your lineup all the time. Yeah, love the value.
He was my second highest rated best ball value last year, only behind McCaffrey. McCaffrey just had a higher floor, but Henry was able to access ceilings that almost no other running back was able to. Like, those top 5 weeks are so precious for your best ball leagues. And if you're able to get those, and you know that the offense is centered around Derrick Henry yet again, like, if Derrick Henry emerges from this week without being traded, without, you know, a significant back added as well, like, I know there's been some rumblings about Bijan Robinson added, but literally things couldn't get any worse for the Tennessee Titans offense in some of those games. As you mentioned, Malik Willis, Josh Dobbs, you know, the reality is that Derrick Henry is, I think, still has a lot of juice.
Totally. And, you know, we were talking about, before the show started, we were talking about, you know, viewing players in kind of by the shape of the curve of their mm-hmm. likely outcomes, you know, right. And Derrick Henry is just such a huge right-tailed curve. I mean, it's like almost all, you know, it's either he's hurt or he's giving you an extreme right tail week, almost every week.
And that's why I've been drafting so much of him at the end of the second round, beginning of the third round, in all these, like, best the FFPC or the drafters, or even in some of the underdog drafts. It's just auto click, you know, because I have him at running back three right now, and I'm not one to reach very far for players. I just let them come to me at ADP. I love them, and I love that value. So give me Derrick Henry all the time at the end of round two, beginning of round three. Let's keep her moving here, Dan. One of the players that I wonder if he will escape for the second year in a row is Buffalo wide receiver Gabriel Davis. There was a lot of chatter last year about whether the Buffalo Bills would add a significant wide receiver piece in the draft for 2022. They didn't really. They drafted Khalil Shakir, and they signed Jameson Crowder. Like, there wasn't a lot of addressing. The ramp was laid for Gabriel Davis to take off, and he didn't really take off. So you have to wonder if the confidence has been shaken in Buffalo, or if they're just going to roll the dice yet again with this, what was it, a fourth round? He was a late fourth round draft pick a few years ago. I mean, he's a big body down the field wide receiver, but you have to wonder if Buffalo is more interested in maybe like a Jordan Addison type, or I don't know, Quentin Johnston type that might be able to, you know, be a difference maker alongside Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, we've obviously seen Gabriel Davis just take over games, but for the most part, he was going up against terrible cornerback when that happened. And you know, so you have to kind of factor that in there. I don't see him getting steamed up like this past year, 2022, you know, at the end of August and into September, you know, he basically got steamed up into the fourth round and,
third round. I have receipts of people who shared draft boards with me. I was like, I took Gabriel Davis in round three, like, dude, thanks for paying the rake, you know? Like.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't see him getting steamed up to that point, you know, because where he's going right now is about where he was going, if I recall, last year at about this time, or at least after the draft. He was going in around the, you know, ninth round, something like that. And, you know, so I think Buffalo is going to do something wide receiver for sure. Which means that you're going to have somebody running interference for Gabe Davis. And the way I look at Davis is he's more of probably, you know, a floor. I hate to say a floor play because, I mean, you know, the guy can score from anywhere. But he really is kind of, you know, when you're taking him in the eighth or ninth round, you're not, you know, I'd rather go for somebody who I think can give me the performance of a third round wide receiver. And I don't think Gabe Davis can get there. What Davis is going to do is he's going to say, well, I'm not going to give you the performance of a 17th round wide receiver. You know, whereas that guy that I take instead of Gabe Davis, he might give me a third round wide receiver. He might give me a 17th round wide receiver. You know, so he's just a safer play in that way. But he's also in, you know, this is the opposite of what a lot of people say. Oh, he's great for best ball. Well, I don't really think he's all that great for best ball because he just doesn't, you know, I don't think he has that huge ceiling in him.
Yeah, I mean, he was only wide receiver 24 last year in rate of top 5 weeks, you know, and then he was wide receiver 36 in rate of flex weeks, you know. And so you see a nice little floor there, as you mentioned, and the ceiling is propped up, I think, less by his talent and more by the fact that Josh Allen is the quarterback and willing to throw the ball down the field. So he's easily replaceable in this draft. That's one player that I am monitoring in my mock draft, which you can find on bestbellfantasy.com. you can check out my 1.0 version that I posted today. And I have Quentin Johnston at 27 going to the Buffalo Bills. And I think that would be a nice little add. As I mentioned, maybe it's Jordan Addison, maybe it's another player, but I think that that would be a nice little.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Pickup for the Buffalo Bills at the end of the first round. And I think that'll really hurt Gabriel Davis's fantasy value. I don't think he'll be, you know, a ninth round value anymore. I think he'll drop maybe to the 11th round, because if you're a big body wide receiver who goes deep, you're occasionally going to have a big spike week. So he can't be completely ignored in best ball if he's attached to Josh Allen, but you could see his fantasy impact, his fantasy upside really being impacted here.
And Quentin Johnson would be about the worst of all the rookie wide receivers who could show up there as far as Gabe Davis goes, in my opinion, because basically, you know, kind of he would be replacing Davis rather than, you know, somebody like a Jordan Addison who's more likely to add to him. You know, somebody who's, if they get that good slot receiver, you're still going to see Gabe Davis on the field a lot. Whereas if you get Quentin Johnson on there, you know, at whatever point Quentin Johnson starts earning a lot of reps, they're more likely to come at Gabe Davis's expense. I mean, they can always throw Diggs in the slot too, sure. But, you know, I just see that as being worse for Gabe if they get Quentin Johnson there than like a Jordan Addison type.
All right, we'll keep her moving. Houston running back Damian Pierce lands on this who to watch for list for myself. And maybe, Dan, you're watching this carefully too, because Devin Singletary was signed already. And I think that was like a yellow flag, at least. I don't think it was a red flag. It wasn't a, we're going to bring in this bruiser to take the Damian Pierce role, but it certainly wasn't great. Singletary had 50 targets last year, so the pass catching is there. Damian Pierce wasn't really used in the pass catching role, but there's been a lot of mocks lately at 12 with the Houston Texans taking a Bijan Robinson, and maybe they take Bijan, or maybe they trade back that 12 pick to gain more picks, maybe later in the first round for somebody who wants to take a Bijan or wants to trade up to get, if Jaxon Smith-Njigba is still there, that might be an interesting pick. In my mock, I had Tennessee taking Jaxon Smith-Njigba at 11, but the Houston Texans, I feel like this is once again a vulnerable position that Houston has already said we're not confident fully in Damian Pierce handling a three down workload. Plus last year, Damian Pierce was a nice floor play when he was out there, but his ceiling games were non-existent. He had a 0% top five weekly rate among running backs. He did not get there. He did not access elite ceilings because the offense was so bad. So I don't know if you're feeling this type of vulnerability, but I've been staying away from Damian Pierce unless he drops multiple rounds in these early drafts.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to take him unless it's below ADP. You know, I want to see him drop some for sure. And, you know, I think you pegged it out exactly right there, Bradley. I mean, you know, if Bijan gets past Atlanta at 8, if you're a Damian Pierce bag holder, you got to be shaking in your boots at that point. Because, you know, Bijan, he's a Texas guy. He actually comes, I believe, from Corpus Christi area, if I remember right. But anyway, right down there on the Gulf Coast of Texas, close to Houston. And boy, he will sell jerseys like nobody's business in Houston. And you know that's a franchise that's aware of that. They've got a problem, you know, attracting their fans and keeping their fans' interest. And a player like Bijan would do a world of good for him. So I think if Bijan's there for Houston at 12, you know, look out, Damian Pierce.
Shout out Death Dealers.
Yes.
It was good to see you at the FF Expo a couple years ago. We'll have to reconnect for sure. So I agree with you. At 12, it could be very hairy for those. If you're a dynasty manager and you see that Bijan is still available, Bijan is still available, that's where you're sending those dynasty trade offers, you know, in real time. You are sending them in real time before the pick is in. You've got about 10 minutes to get those in and hope that the manager sees it, you know, so that way, you know, you can sell when you can, because I think, I will admit by bias, last year I didn't think that Damian Pierce was going to be the player that he was. I was concerned about draft capital. I was concerned about usage. And frankly, like he landed in a good enough spot that the Houston Texans need to lean on him. And there wasn't really anyone else. Rex Burkhead, you know, real talk. that was going to get in the way. So Dameon Pierce landed in a nice spot, but couldn't last the whole season because he was never asked to carry the full workload at Florida. So I think this is my bias kind of showing out, but also there are legitimate reasons to be concerned for Dameon Pierce here going into the 2023 draft.
Yeah,
let's keep
it
moving. Oh, you have one last thought, Dan?
One last thought. Yeah, I think if you're expecting to be a bell cow, you're probably expecting a little bit too much. And when I say you, that is you, the listener. I know you, Bradley, do not expect him to be a bell cow. you know, and that's why you're drafting him where you are, or not drafting him, as the case may be. But yeah, this is a classic situation. Fourth round pick in the real NFL draft, who, hasn't shouldered a huge load before. So more competition is probably coming. I'm not too concerned about Devin Singletary. I mean, they had to add somebody there. They couldn't leave the running back room as it was. So adding Singletary was just, I think in a way, almost a good thing for Dameon Pierce, if that's all that happens. But I expect that's probably not going to be the only thing that happens.
Well, for what it's worth, Dan, in my mock 1.0, at pick 33, I have the Houston Texans selecting Jahmyr Gibbs. So that's where it would be. I have Houston taking C.J. Stroud at 2 and then taking Tyree Wilson at 12. So the edge rusher. All right, we'll keep it moving. Another vulnerable running back in Kansas City, Isaiah Pacheco. Jerick McKinnon hasn't re-signed yet.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Your Majesty, Sir Richard has arrived home from his quest.
Sir Richard, you've slayed the dragon, and for your boldness, a choice of fabulous rewards. Exotic pelts, rare gems, or riches the likes of which you've never seen. With more than 10 million in prizes, and the best odds of winning $300, should you choose them, ultimate riches await thee.
May thy boldness be rewarded with the new Ultimate Riches Scratcher from DC Lottery. Please play responsibly.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is expected to be back healthy. How strong of a stranglehold on the starting running back position does Pacheco have? And do you think Kansas City could be in the business of adding a late round, not early round, we saw how that turned out with CEH, but a late round running back to push Pacheco if maybe Jerick McKinnon doesn't re-sign?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, Pacheco's in a weird spot because, here we have this, guy with seventh round draft capital. It's, who just came in and, really took the job by force in a lot of ways and ended up carving out a platoon role with Jerick McKinnon. And I thought they made a great platoon. I mean, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, until he got hurt last year, was actually fairly decent, and people are forgetting that, So if you're looking for, the late pick in your best balls and you need help at running back, it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you can thank me in December. I think at some point Clyde Edwards-Helaire, even if they sign McKinnon and even if, with Pacheco maintains, a significant role or whatever, I think Edwards-Helaire is going to end up helping you more than your average 17th, 18th round pick. So you might as well be grabbing him. But yeah, Pacheco is in kind of an interesting situation because this is the kind of guy that I always sell in Dynasty. I've already gotten, I got him for like a, fifth round pick or whatever in the rookie draft. Didn't cost me anything. I got to use them all last year, so I got some good games out of them. And then I was able to, I'm able to go out and sell them for, even if it's a second round pick or a pair of seconds, like a second this year and a second next year or something like that. that's fantastic, you know, because I've more than made my money back, and I've also got the production along the way. So win-win-win, time to get out, you know, do the Bill Belichick, get out too soon rather than too late. And it's kind of how I feel about that. And where he's going in best ball drafts, I think is kind of an interesting range. I think it's kind of fair. You know, the one thing we didn't see out of Pacheco, and you can tell me, Bradley, because you've got the information at your fingertips. How many top five weeks did he have? How many top 12 weeks?
Yeah, so I actually pulled that up while we were talking here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was running back 18. I think it was running back 18 in rate of top 10 weeks. And he had a top 10 week 15% of the time. Percent of the games that he played. Isaiah Pacheco was at 0%. Okay, so like we remember that Isaiah Pacheco like carried loads, but he wasn't scoring a lot of touchdowns and he didn't catch the ball. And so all of those factors play into, well, maybe it was because Jerick McKinnon was there, or maybe it was because Clyde Edwards-Helaire wasn't there. But what if a lot of things had to go right for Isaiah Pacheco to just put up 15.4% of the time being at least a flex play, right? That's not going to get it done. I agree with you. He's one of the biggest sells this offseason. You don't want to be caught holding the bag of Isaiah Pacheco when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was 15% of the time. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire can kind of do enough of what Isaiah Pacheco does, plus he can catch the ball. So what if Clyde Edwards-Helaire turns into the Jerick McKinnon type of back in this Kansas City offense? And we've seen that brand of running back with Patrick Mahomes be a running back too in a less than full-time role. So I think that this is like perfectly set up for what you said. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as long as he's on the Chiefs, is a perfect 17th round, 16th round, 15th round, 18th round, wherever you're getting him, drafting him there, because there's literally nothing but upside, and he has experience and has shown us that he can access that upside in this offense. So, yes, this is a Clyde Edwards-Helaire back on the trade, given the value, and I'm off the Isaiah Pacheco train as of right now. So there we go, Dan. And Death Dealers also asks, Kansas City passed like 75%. Isaiah Pacheco doesn't thrive in the passing game. They still leave hope for CEH. Yes, there is hope with all of that. Plus, we have to remember Clyde Edwards-Helaire has first-round draft capital to his name. That does not go away. And it's not – he hasn't played poorly. It's just that he was hurt. And he's a small-ish back that's – you know, he plays the running back position. So, yeah, like, give me a lot of Clyde Edwards-Helaire late in this offense. And Death Dealer says, well, that answers my question. Perfect. Perfect.
Yes. And with, you know, a fun thing to do in best balls, too, is just grab the combo pack. Take a Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon. Late in the draft, forget about Pacheco. Just grab those two guys. You're going to probably find that between the two of them, you cobble together a pretty decent running back.
Yeah. So my best ball, value rating put Pacheco at 2.14 last season, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire was at a 5.51. And the way that works is, that is the percent to which like that contributes to a elite team. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire was contributing more than twice the value of what Isaiah Pacheco was, even though it felt like as fantasy managers, we felt like Pacheco was better. It's just that the numbers, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was able to access more upside. And so that's why you have to take those pass catching backs with good offenses. So I feel like we've dwelt a lot on Kansas City. Let's keep it moving to some rumblings as of late about San Francisco quarterback Trey Lance. Now, I'll lay it out for you, Dan, and you can give some reactions whether you think that San Francisco is going to move Trey Lance or whether they're going to, you know, keep him around. But we know the landscape, really. Brock Purdy is coming back from an elbow injury that at least he was able to avoid Tommy John, so he's not going to be out the whole year. If he is on track, he could start week one, but probably not. That would leave Trey Lance to compete with Sam Darnold for this starting job week one. But it seems like all signs are pointing to Brock Purdy automatically claiming this starting job when he gets healthy, barring Trey Lance setting the world absolutely on fire. So is that what it's going to take for Trey Lance to stay in San Francisco? Or is there a path for this former top three overall pick to be the backup to Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant?
I think in a way that if Trey Lance ends up being the backup to Brock Purdy, or God forbid, Sam Darnold.
I was on a different podcast for what it's worth, Dan, and one of the guys asked me, what odds would you have to take for Sam Darnold, like Super Bowl MVP? And I was like, look, if anyone gives me 10,000-to-1 odds, I'll you know, you can't turn that down. But, you know, Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold. Let's be real.
Yes. I mean, 10,000-to-1 odds. It's so good that even Kevin from The Office knows to take that bet. So, you know, the thing is San Francisco, they're kind of doing things that you would sort of expect. You know, with Trey Lance, it's clear that they've got some real concerns about him off the field, about how he's going. You know, I don't know if it's about how he's going about his rehab, but certainly it's about how he's preparing for games and things like that. You can just kind of tell from the way that they talk about him and everything else that there's something going on underneath the surface that isn't related to his physical tools. You know, and then you're in an interesting situation with this guy because, of course, you know, he's thrown, you know, what, 450 passes since he was like a 17-year-old or something like that. I forget what the exact stat is. But, I mean, you know, he just keeps getting hurt or, you know, unable to play. And so they still don't really know what they have there. And with Brock Purdy, they have no idea if Brock Purdy can make it back. I mean, you know, they're assuming everything's going to go fine. It looks like it is. But is he going to be back week one? We don't know. You know, and I think there's still a chance that, you know, with a repair like that, that, you know, it just won't work. And he just doesn't have it on his fastball anymore. It's more likely to actually help his fastball is what they say. But, you know, if the repair is a failure, then it's, you know, and there's a non-zero chance of that. They could be looking at a zero there. So if they're looking at a zero with Lance, they're looking at a zero with Purdy. All of a sudden, there's Sam Darnold, you know. So we've got a really interesting situation. You can really kind of pick your fighter here and come up with some good reasons to believe you've got the right
choose
one.
Choose your character.
Yes. And, you know, I honestly think they're, you know, all those comments were just trying to light a fire under Lance and get him going. That's who I think they want to win the job. I don't think you want your, you know, last pick of the seventh round quarterback who is, you know, smart and clearly can, you know, perform in this offense. But, you know, that doesn't unlock the ceiling that Trey Lance could unlock. And I think they want to see if they can get that ceiling unlocked. So I'm not really expecting him to get traded. I know there's all sorts of rumors about, you know, he could get traded to Houston or whatever. I guess if somebody puts together a good enough package, San Francisco might consider it. You know, that might be one of the reasons why they got Sam Darnold in there. But I don't know. I think if you're trying to bet on the highest possible outcome of quarterback there, you're going to bet on Trey Lance. If you're just trying to, you know, if you're just trying to bet on the one who's most likely to play the most games, it might be Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and maybe this is a classic Shanahan doghouse scenario where we've seen time and again these doghouse, like, who was it? Dante Pettis was the original dog, okay? And we're not talking D-A-W-G, right? We're talking, like, in the doghouse and you have to sleep in your own crap, you know, sort of thing. And I mean, we'll talk about it with the next guy that I'm watching very closely this draft, and that's Brandon Ayuk, because he was in the doghouse for some time and has been off and on, it seems, over the last couple of years. This former first-round wide receiver And I know that the San Francisco 49ers did extend, I believe, the fifth-year option for Brandon Ayuk. However, that just means that he's locked in for a fifth year. We've seen other wide receivers who have what would be first or second round pedigree get traded on draft night for these long extensions. You know, AJ Brown, Marquise Hollywood Brown come to mind immediately. And San Francisco does not have a first round or second round pick in this year's draft. So I think that Brandon Ayuk is quietly on the trade block here. Because they have Debo, they have a few other players, and they have some third-round draft capital to mess around with as well to be able to see maybe they can find some other small players to complement moving forward just to see, you know, what else they can get out of this wide receiver core. Because Brandon Ayuk, he was okay. He was good, like, for the second half of last year. He ended up finishing with over 1,000 receiving yards. He was wide receiver 15. But he didn't offer a lot of spike weeks, and that was the problem, I think, for our best ball teams. We hoped that he would be, you know, very valuable, but Ayuk was a 4.07 best ball value rating. That was wide receiver 42 for me, or wide receiver 41, I'm sorry, and only 22% of the time was at least a flex play for you in your best ball leagues. So in that, like, range of outcomes, you know, Dan, you mentioned it earlier, and we've been talking about it even off air as well, is like, what does this bell curve look like for Brandon Ayuk? And it's very limited, you know, even floor and ceiling, like only 4% of the time was Brandon Ayuk a top five wide receiver. And 4% is like once every 25 games. So maybe you'll be able to get one of those types of games in a season, you know, if you're lucky. So we'll see, you know, if Brandon Ayuk is on the trade block, or, you know, if the San Francisco 49ers want to address the wide receiver position in some other way. I just see this formula playing out, you know, almost every year.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree, because one of the things is with San Francisco just doesn't pass that much. And when you've got four guys who are really good in the passing game with Debo and Ayuk and Kittle and then CMC.
Yeah,
you know, somebody's going to get chronically underused, and it seems like it's Ayuk. I mean, you know, he's done a lot with the opportunities he's had. So I like the talent. I like the player. But, you know, the way he ends up getting used in that offense, he's basically like a rich man's Gabe Davis. So, you know, he's going to get you. I think he's got a better weekly floor than Gabe Davis, but I think he's got kind of that similar ceiling. You know, he might get you 15 to 20 points a few times, but he's not going to go over 20 points.
Yeah, in the same range as Ayuk, at least comparing to last year, was KJ Osborne, DJ Chark, Rashad Bateman, Rondell Moore. So, like, you know, that's not going to really get it done for you, you know, from a fantasy perspective. From real life, maybe the 49ers, you know, really do like that he offers something different from the yak monsters that are Debo and Kittle and McCaffrey. But Ayuk still is a decent yards after catch type of wide receiver. So it's a hard read, but this seems like the blueprint that other teams have used to offload their first round former first round wide receivers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always a little bit nervous about, you know, ever banking on a trade, you know, like to hold somebody's value or vault somebody's value. And I think where Ayuk is going, you almost need that trade to happen just to, for him to, you know, return value in best ball drafts. Otherwise, I think he's a little bit overvalued right now with what his role is likely to be with San Francisco. So, you know, I don't like relying on that trade. So I'm light on Ayuk right now. I've just been taking him, you know, a little bit of him as he, you know, here and there where he drops. I don't know how you've been handling him, Bradley, but that's what I've been doing.
I mean, I'll sprinkle him in here and there. You can't ignore he finished as wide receiver 15 in fantasy points total, but it's the points per game that really, you know, is a struggle for me. He's pretty consistent, but doesn't spike as much as you'd like him to. And then there's questions about the quarterback, you know, who are we going to get this year and for what stretches and what kind of chemistry are these are they going to have? So I have concerns, but I'll still sprinkle them in. I don't want to miss out if there is a trade. Let's say something big happens with Ayuk. He could benefit from a change of scenery.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's also a good point that with Trey Lance at quarterback, if that's what ends up happening, you know, that might not be good for any of the pass catchers, really.
All right, we're going to shift to a wide receiver who has been on the trade block for some time, and that's wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. The trade hasn't happened yet. There's been some suitors possibly with the Buffalo Bills have been rumored. The New England Patriots had been rumored for some time. But for right now, he's still in Arizona unless we get some updates. You know, I'll check the Twitter sphere right now. I don't see anything really crazy right but it's always worth checking, I think, that in these breaking news, right, DeAndre Hopkins. But right now, the problem is I don't see DeAndre Hopkins fitting in the target shares that I have projected. And so I've started to do projections. I haven't finished them yet, but I've started with Arizona, and you have James Conner, whose median target share last year was 11%. You have Marquise Brown's, whose median was 24%. Rondell's was 19%. And Zach Ertz, Trey McBride will get you combined probably 20%. So you're talking like, where are you going to be able to fit DeAndre Hopkins in if you still have ancillary pieces like Zach Pascal and Greg Dortch and, you know, a couple other sprinklings of targets elsewhere? Like, it seems like DeAndre Hopkins is already the odd man out. So where would he be valuable? Does he have a lot of juice left? He averaged a 28, 29% target share last year, so it's not like he's not commanding targets, but is his body able to hold up for the rest of his career?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually kind of cautiously bullish on DeAndre Hopkins. I think if he goes anywhere, he's going to go somewhere he can be useful. I think he showed last year after coming off that suspension that he still commands targets, and he did so immediately. So it was, things were good. That offense wasn't the greatest, so there wasn't a lot of touchdown scoring going on, but, you know, on a better team that scores more touchdowns, that could be really something, because he's got the body for it, and, he can win those contested catches. So, and he's also a PPR machine, you know, so if he stays on Carolina, I think he's still probably going to command a 25% target share. And I think where it's going to come from is Rondale Moore's going to get hurt, and Zach Ertz probably isn't going to be, he may be coming back slow, if at all, so there's potentially stuff right there. And the rest of it is just going to come from players that aren't able to earn targets as well as DeAndre Hopkins is. I think they're good. He's if Kyler's out for a few weeks and you've got McCoy or, you know, David Drew or who they get, Jeff Driscoll,
Jeff the Drisk. Uncle Jeff is his nickname, evidently.
Uncle Jeff. Okay. Yeah. You know, he's going to be a target magnet for those guys. It's kind of how I feel about it. But I'm hoping he goes elsewhere because I've got a ton of Hollywood Brown bags in both best ball and dynasty. So, and I've got a fair number of, even though I was disparaging Rondale Moore, I've got a fair number of Rondale Moore bags because when he's in there and he's playing, he's been doing good. So, I think that might be likely to continue.
So I just traded for DeAndre Hopkins in a dynasty league.
All right. What'd you give
up? I traded Rashad White straight up for DeAndre Hopkins.
I kind of like that, Bradley. I kind of like that. Because, I mean, we're gonna talk Rashad White, right? We got to now.
Well, but I'll put a bow on Hopkins in a second. But, okay. Yes, we will talk about Rashad White here momentarily.
But anyway, I think Hopkins, if you're a win now team, that's a great player to acquire and, give up somebody whose value might crater.
Well, so the team that I traded, it's a 16 team, one quarterback, league, and I have Hurts, Kenneth Walker, CMC, Waddle, Tyreek Hill. I just traded for Stephon Diggs as well. So I've got Hopkins and Diggs. I've got Trey McBride as my tight end. Unfortunately, I need to plug that hole with something. But and then I've got like one other flex spot that I'll just fill in. But that's a win now team. And I felt like Rashad White was not fitting the brand of that team. And his value, as you mentioned, can crater very quickly. And we'll jump into Rashad White. But before we do, DeAndre Hopkins last year was wide receiver 10 in my best ball value rating, only behind A.J. Brown, C.D. Lamb, Stephon Diggs, et cetera. So, Hopkins still has some juice left. We will go to Rashad White. I'll bury the lead here. If you go to bestbellfantasy.com and you look at my mock draft, I have Bijan Robinson going 19 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look, we might get news that there's no way that Bijan gets out of the top 15, blah, blah, blah. Fine. But for right now, like, we should be worried about Rashad White, and not because Chase Edmonds is there. That's not the reason. It's that they could bring in, you know, a Bijan or a Roshan Johnson, you know, in the third round. That would be really concerning for me. I'm looking at a couple other running backs that I project. Zach Charbonnet would be disastrous for Rashad White. Even Tyjae Spears could be a real problem for Rashad White. It's just that Rashad White was extremely inefficient last year. He benefited from a tremendous amount of volume, pass volume and rush volume, splitting with Leonard Fournette. And we know that the offense is going to be markedly worse this year under either Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask. They're not going to be in the scoring positions that they were in last year. The offense is not going to be as confident under those quarterbacks instead of Tom, you know, versus Tom Brady. So this is Rashad White is the perfect sell candidate right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and interestingly, Tampa last year was one of the teams where their fantasy players had some of the lowest reliance on touchdowns for their points of any other team, just because of the fact that, for whatever reason, the Bucs were very good at moving down into scoring position and either getting the field goal or getting the turnover. They just were terrible at scoring touchdowns for most of last year. And, you know, so that didn't do Rashad White any favors. But, you know, also Tom Brady was checking down like a demon to the running backs.
Check down king.
Oh, my gosh, yes. So, you know, I would not expect that to continue to happen. You know, Tampa Bay's running game was terrible. Fournette was terrible last year. Rashad White was terrible. You know, you can argue, well, was it because running backs were terrible, or was there, you know, their run blocking was pretty terrible too. They had a lot of problems on the offensive line. You know, so you can make excuses for White, and I know people who are out there and, you know, they're pumping up Rashad White. You know, Theo, one of my
I was about to say,
partners.
Should we shout out some names? Theo Greminger, friend of the podcast, Theo Greminger.
I gotta throw Theo under the bus. No, he and I gently disagree on White. He's much higher on him. I mean, I could see the path that Theo's talking about. I'm willing to say that's a non-zero chance, but my bet, you know, if I'm putting down a bet, is going on the other side. And, you know, because of the reasons you mentioned, I mean, I think, you know, they've got to add to that running back room, and a Charbonnet.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Es del mejor evento de compras en Macy's. Usa tu cupón o tarjeta Macy's y ahorra un 25% extra en ofertas increíbles, como joyas de diamante y de piedras preciosas a 25-50% menos, y artículos de cocina de All Clad, Cuisinart y más, 15-50% menos. O compras especiales como 30-50% menos en ropa interior y lencería. Además, los miembros de Macy's Star Rewards ganan con cada compra, excepto tarjetas de regalo, servicios y cargos. Más detalles en Macy's.com/Star Rewards. Ahorros sobre precios regulares en oferta y liquidación aplican excepciones.
Roshan Johnson, Izzy Abakanda, heck, even Kendre Miller would be, you know, any of those guys.
Give me all the Abanacanda, baby.
Oh, yeah.
or my favorite, and Dan, you get privilege with this.
All right.
Dwayne McBride, no matter what, baby. Dwayne yes. McBride.
You have been on the McBride bus, haven't you? All off season.
All off season. Let it be known, Dwayne McBride. He was just, yeah. Anyways, so if Dwayne McBride comes, that would change the game for Rashad White, because remember, Rashad White was profiled as a pass catching back out of Arizona State, and you know he was not known for his efficiency on the ground. Really relied on fantasy points through the air. So Rashad White is one of those players that he's been hyping himself up this offseason. I don't hate it. Like, good for you, Rashad White. Like real good for you. Like, take it, fight for the job. Nothing against you, but I think that this is where he was drafted was an indication of team's values of him, and he was what, like the 32nd pick in the third round. Something like that, 34th pick in the second round. That's that's not a vote of confidence that he can handle a three down role comfortably. So, yeah, it's there are lots of reasons to be concerned, Dan. Any last thoughts on Rashad White?
No, but just to put a bow on it, that's exactly the type of player you want to trade off for, you know, for a win now team to get a piece like you got DeAndre Hopkins. Because you are trading uncertainty for certainty. You may be, you know, Rashad White's best possible outcome could make you regret that trade, but almost any other outcome probably isn't, which means there's a 90% chance that you're going to be happy with, you know, if DeAndre Hopkins does what he did last year and continues to do that this year, you're going to be real happy with that trade.
Or even if he drops down a little bit, like if right. Hopkins only gets a 25% target share instead of 29% target share. Yeah, you know, like we're talking about a player who's going to be top 18 automatically. Like, mm-hmm. How can we guarantee that Rashad White's going to be top 18 that on a bad offense?
Right.
He would have to have the backfield by himself. And that's a bet that I think both you and I are not making.
Correct.
Okay. Two last players, and then Dan has been so gracious with his time. We will make sure to give Dan all of the props at the end, and we'll have him let you know where to find him and all the Goat District stuff. But first, running back James Conner. Now, Conner, he has the backfield to himself. He's also signed to a big deal. We know he's not going to go anywhere. This is a different situation than the Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook. He is guaranteed this money. It doesn't benefit the Arizona Cardinals to cut him. And he played really well last year. There are like a couple, you know, problems. One is that there's a new GM and a new coach. So maybe, you know, he has to win over the good graces of those players, those people. But James Conner last year was running back 9 in rate of being a flex play for you. And James Conner was also running back 7 in rate of top 10 weeks. And most of those came after Kyler Murray was out. Like, we remember that Kyler Murray tore his ACL against the Patriots, right? Week 13 or 14, somewhere around there. And from that point on, James Conner was a running back, solid running back 1, because they would just lean on him. They would hand him the rock. They would dump it off. It was clear that he was the focal point of the offense when Kyler was not out there. And we know that Kyler's going to miss, I don't know, conservatively 4 games. So what do you think, Dan? Is James Conner in jeopardy of losing his job? What kind of, you know, outlook are, how hard are we looking at James Conner during this draft?
All right, so James Conner, I have to admit, my bags are so loaded that I had to get, you know, I have my pickup truck full of bags, and I had to put the trailer on the pickup to carry the rest of the James Conner bags I've got this year. So that's where I'm at on him, because this is one of those situations where it's like, you know, I look at it and I'm going, this is the ideal situation. Everybody in these drafts seems to hate him. I don't really know why, other than they're just sick of him. You know, James Conner is old. He's no older than Dalvin Cook. He's no older than Joe Mixon. You know, there are a lot of running backs his age that we're drafting a lot higher. The Cardinals suck. Yeah, well, so do a lot of other teams. But, you know, sometimes teams that suck throw a lot to the running backs when they're trying to catch up. You know, they're still going to give them the rock. And, you know, as you said, you know, with Kyler out, he was absolutely unstoppable. Yes, he gets hurt. That's another reason why people are not in on him, you know, because he's only going to play probably 12 games. Newsflash, most running backs are going to be hurt. And they're probably going to miss 3 or 4 games. You know, big deal. You know, it's what is he doing for you while he's in the game rather than, you know, when he's on the bench, who cares? If you're talking best ball, fine. You know, that's why you got him late. You were getting him in the, where is he going on Underdog right now?
Let me pull that up. Give me a second. James Conner is running back 29, right ahead of Joe Mixon. He's behind Rashad White, Tyler Allgeier, Zach Charbonnet, and Javonte Williams. Like, I think give me James Conner over all those except we'll wait on Charbonnet, but give me James Conner over those guys. I think,
yeah, absolutely. And it's the same thing on FFPC. He's going behind all those guys. And you know, that's just a perfect situation too. With if we know Kyler's missing a few games, then when Kyler comes back after missing those few games, I mean, you know, Bradley, how much is he going to be running?
I mean, this is true, too. Look, Dan, I kept scrolling up, and I saw Damian Pierce at running back 21, Isaiah Pacheco at running back 22. Like, give me James Conner over those players. I'll take a step back. I do like DeAndre Swift and Cam Akers over James Conner. Right. But I think that there's clear ways in which those other running backs that I mentioned can fail more miserably than James Conner.
Right. And, you know, and even like a Cam Akers, you know, you could see James Conner doing better than Cam Akers. I think it's likely that Akers does better than Conner, but, you know, it could easily.
I mean, at least like we're talking in the same tier. I think that's a similar tier. DeAndre Swift though.
Yeah, well,
like I am a DeAndre Swift truther to the bitter end. So.
I can't argue with you there, but just that what Swift could be is just so amazing that Connor would have a difficult time touching that. But you know, the other thing you've got going for you when you're drafting Connor is, and I think we're going to find this out later this week, is Arizona has too many other needs. You know, they do. Drafting a running back can't be very high on their list. I mean, they've got to get somebody in there. I'm sure they're going to draft somebody in like, you know, the fifth round or sixth round or seventh round or something like that. But I don't see them as, you know, whoever they draft is probably not going to be a huge threat to Connor.
Give me like a Chris Rodriguez. Year. Yeah. Give me Chris Rodriguez late.
I mean, you know, so they've got to do something. You know, because their running back room is just too light right now. But
it's just Keontae Ingram and Corey Clement.
Right. So, you know, they're doing something there, you know, and if they have to, you know, if they don't find what they're looking for in the draft, they'll maybe go out and sign a free agent or something. But, you know, right now, Connor looks very, very safe to me.
I mean, I agree with you there. I did make a bold call. A few months ago, I think it was a month ago when Zeke was cut, I said a sleeper place where Ezekiel Elliott could land is in Arizona.
Oh, please let that happen. That would just that would be like the best meat shield for Connor for the entire rest of the offseason.
Look, I'm here for all of it. So, so that's James Conner. I think there is a lot of upside, and I do have Arizona pretty closely projected. A lot of the other teams I haven't done on bestbellfantasy.com, but you can check them out. Check out the Arizona projections, and they're going to be pretty close. I do need to do a little bit of adjusting, of course, and I'll continue to do that throughout the off season. But James Conner right now, I have projected for, assuming 17 games. He's not going to play 17, but assuming 17 games, he's closing in on 300 carries, 14 touchdowns, 55 receptions, 2 receiving touchdowns. We're talking over 300 PPR fantasy points. This is a guy who has scored a ton in the past. And I mentioned the top 10 weeks. He was, one of the, what did I say? Top 10, top 11 in top 10 weeks last year. The rate of which whoever's going to be the running back in Arizona is going to get points. They're going to be used pretty heavily, especially if Hopkins is gone. You're just going to lean on Marquise Brown and Rondell Moore and maybe second year tight end Trey McBride. The running back's going to be a focal point. So, value James Conner.
Yeah, and if that happens, I mean, if we get 300-point James Conner, Bradley, you and I are going to buy the island of Fiji. Okay, it's just going to be ours.
Deal. Handshake, virtual handshake.
Yes.
Dan, we've got one last player here, and it's not on the show sheet because I had to throw him in, and that is LA Chargers wide receiver Josh Palmer. There's been so many mock drafts of the Chargers taking a wide receiver like Jalen Hyatt, for instance. I haven't mocked a wide receiver to the LA Chargers, but that might come, later on in the week. We'll see. I've heard of Addison going there. I've heard of, a few others, but ultimately, Jalen Hyatt as a field stretcher, a different type of player, because as we know with all three of these big wide receivers, Josh Palmer, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, they're all big, slow guys who just can't stretch the field. And the Chargers were throwing out Jalen Guyton, right? Mm-hmm. They were throwing out DeAndre Carter, right out of the slot. They were throwing out just pick a guy. They may look for a speed play, especially with a new offensive coordinator with Kellen Moore, to stretch the field in the way that we haven't seen before. And I think that could hurt Austin Eckler and hurt Gerald Everett if they add a speed guy. And I think that Josh Palmer would be most likely the biggest fantasy asset hurt by a wide receiver added in this draft.
Yeah, I totally agree that there's a potential for a big hurt on Palmer. I think also there's a little bit of potential for, if he does have the experience in the offense and, Keenan Allen, he got those soft tissue injuries last year, and those always worry me. I mean, Keenan Allen could come back and play 16, 17 games this year, and I wouldn't be too surprised by that, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he only played 8 or 9. Because sometimes once you get those soft tissue injuries going a little bit later in the career, they tend to stick with you and you have a little bit more trouble shaking them. Mike Williams, as we know, he's the guy who, like, my God, he has no regard for his body at all.
Billy Muzio throws himself
up in the air. And he's great at, coming out with his contested catches. But my gosh, you want to see him landing in the high jump pit the way he goes up for those balls. So
Billy Muzio says that Mike Williams is the only player in the NFL who can land on both his head and his ass in the same play.
Oh, see, there you go. A high jumper. Just like that. Billy and I are... We're channeling each other on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Shout out to Billy. One of the best in the biz.
No doubt. But all right. Anyway, Palmer, I think, there is a route to upside, but I think he's being overdrafted right now.
Oh, I am out on Palmer already. I mean, to be fair, his ADP on Underdog is wide receiver 61. So I think there is a little bit of the the general consensus is that they will add, you know, a wide receiver, or that's kind of what the general public is looking like. But I want to find, I'm trying to look up here, wide receiver grades, and I'm pretty sure minimum targets, Josh Palmer was out of 41 qualified wide receivers last year. He was 38th in PFF receiving grade. Like, so, he was one of among the wide receivers who got targets. He was just plain bad. The only wide receivers worse than Palmer, Adam Thielen, Gabe Davis, and Mac Hollins. Okay. So, but it just so happens that we talked about another one of the players on this list earlier, in Gabe Davis. These not good wide receivers who have been have had spurts of fantasy relevance are just in danger because they haven't done enough to earn the job. And I think, you know, Josh Palmer was one. And then I had mentioned, a couple, maybe 2 months ago, how Donovan Peoples-Jones was in that same boat. And then the Browns go and trade for Elijah Moore. So I think we're looking at a similar, like, pathway for Josh Palmer.
Right. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'd much rather have DPJ than Palmer at this point. But yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and they could even draft a tight end in LA for the Chargers. So I don't think they're super, super happy with Everett. Though he did earn a lot of targets last year. I mean, some of those were almost by default. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of moving pieces.
With Keenan out, you're right. You know, it was that he was forced into this role. Gerald Everett was a sleeper for me last year, which, you know, panned out pretty nicely. But
as well.
If you...
Bradley. We can say it. We got bailed out, okay?
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. He won me... I think I was top 12 in Fantasy Pros Accuracy Rings contest for week one when I had Gerald Everett as like a top seven, top eight tight end that week. And yeah, it looked pretty nice. It looked pretty nice on that call. All right. Well, that'll end it for today. Dan, tell us where the people can find you.
Okay. So on Twitter at Overhyped Sleeper, the final E in sleeper is not there. So we ran out of characters. There's one too many characters, at least at back. I don't know. Maybe I can change it now, but I'm not going to. So at one point in time in Twitter, I just had enough characters to not have that final E. So that's the way it is. And you can find me on the Goat District podcast. We generally do generally two, sometimes three podcasts a week. And we really hit it all. I mean, if you're into Dynasty, we've got that. If you're into Best Ball, we've got that. If you're into Redraft, High Stakes, we've got that going on. So we're hitting fantasy from every angle. We try to get just as fantastic a guest as possible. I mean, we have some of the absolute hugest whales from High Stakes world. We have some of the best ball players. We have some of the best dynasty players, and we just get them on because, you know, it's basically, I look at it as, you know what, if somebody is interesting to me, he's probably going to be interesting to our listeners. I'm constantly looking to learn, to expand, grow my game, find, you know, new little things that I can do to make myself a little bit of a better player. So if that sounds like you, then the Goat District is the place you want to go, and I think we're going to find some things you can do better too.
Yeah, make sure you guys are following Dan at Overhype Sleeper. Follow him also at the Goat District. They got the podcasts. They've got the YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe there as well. Click that red subscribe button. And if you like the content here, make sure you hit that red subscribe button as well. Dan, famously, the 1,000th subscriber to the Best Bell Fantasy Football YouTube channel. We appreciate you coming on, Dan. This has been a treat, an absolute treat.
Yes, for me as well, and thank you very much for the T-shirt. I've enjoyed it. One of these days, it may be warm enough in Minnesota that I can actually wear it. But
well, but, if you make your way to the FF Expo, you can rep it. You know,
there we go. Yeah, but this has been a ton of fun, Bradley. I really, really appreciate you having me on, Really enjoyed it, and a lot of great conversation.
Yeah, and we're excited about all the drafting, all the things happening. I will be updating a lot of things on bestbellfantasy.com. I'll also be – I've been doing a little bit of work with full-time fantasy as well, so you can check that out. I've been doing some rookie profiles there. There's also some partnership announcements that are going to be coming very soon for Best Bell Fantasy. Really excited about some opportunities that are floating this way. And, of course, check out bestbellfantasy.com. I put my rankings up there. I've got a mock draft up there. And I, of course, will take requests for fantasy football advice as well. You can set appointments, or you can use the Did It app as well to request advice, talk through fantasy football, whether it's trades, whether you want me to help you with your draft, or whether you need help with player rankings. Whatever it is, I'm here for you. On behalf of Dan, I'm Bradley. And until next time, good luck in the best ball streets.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.